morning, Oregon, and thank you again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John with another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details about Offbeat Oregon History at offbeatoregon.com. Do check it out when you get a chance. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of how Ashland's Shakespeare Festival won what you might call a title match with a boxing event in its very first year of operations. The festival's 1935 debut went head-to-head with a festival of fistfights, and to the astonishment of many city leaders, the Shakespeare plays KO'd the boxing in the first round. The boxing stuff was never held there again. The Shakespeare stuff? Well, you know about that. This story was first published on July 8th, 2009, so some time ago. I'm going to read it to you now. Here we go. For some time now, the 2009 season of Shakespeare plays has been underway in Ashland, home of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Virtually every Oregonian knows about the Ashland Festival, but did you know that the first Shakespeare plays, held in 1935, went toe-to-toe with a couple boxing matches in a fight for the audience's attention, and won? Here's the story. In 1935, Southern Oregon Normal School, which is now Southern Oregon University, had an instructor named Angus Bomer, who noticed that the hulk of an old Chautauqua building looked a bit like a sketch he'd seen of an old Elizabethan theater. So he floated this crazy idea. Let's fix it up and celebrate the 4th of July with a couple of Shakespeare plays there. Great idea, the townspeople said, but there's a depression on and we're pretty sure it will lose money hand over fist. In the end, a compromise was reached. The Shakespeare plays would be held, but so would a couple of boxing matches. The idea was that the expected profits from the fights would cover the expected losses from the plays. To everyone's astonishment, the exact opposite happened. The boxing matches were money losers, but that turned out to be okay because the plays were a big hit. It was such a big hit that they did it again in 1936 without the boxing, and in 1937 had incorporated the Oregon Shakespeare Festival as an independent, nonprofit entity. In 1939, the plays hit the big time when the company staged a performance at the Golden Gate Festival in San Francisco, which was broadcast all over the place on the radio. By 1958, they had performed every play Shakespeare wrote, and by 1963, attendance was more than 50,000. Not bad for a town that was still quite tiny at the time. Still is pretty small, actually. Today, attendance is more than 400,000. The festival has an annual budget of more than 26 million. Almost 800 performances are on the schedule for this year's season. Keep in mind, this is 2009 we're talking about now, which basically runs from spring through fall each year now. Along the way, the festival expanded with a satellite theater company in Portland, which became an independent entity called Portland Center Stage several years ago. In 2001, the 10 millionth audience member attended a performance. As for the boxing matches, well, after 1935, those became history. But for hardcore Shakespeare fans, they wouldn't seem too out of place. After all, when Shakespeare's plays were staged in the 1600s, they shared billing with such blood sports as bear baiting, a fight between a bear on a rope and a pack of dogs, and, of course, the ever-popular chicken fights. In retrospect, compared to the real thing, Oregon's stillborn boxing festival seemed extraordinarily civilized. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you'd like more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you'll find everything at our website at offbeatoregon.com, including the archives, about 210 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes so you can stream them to your cell phone, and Facebook page and Twitter feed links. You'll also find full citations to sources for this story, which for today's episode include a book by Bill Gulick and the Shakespeare Festival website at osfashland.org. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. This podcast is under a Creative Commons license. For more details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. If you're coming to Corvallis, especially if it's a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee. Love to talk history with fellow history buffs. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. That'll do it for today. And coming up tomorrow, that would be Wednesday, and we're going to talk about the Lewis and Clark expedition, how it managed to leave a trail of heavy metals across the country, dozens and dozens of mercury-laden purgative pills invented by American founding father Benjamin Rush were an indispensable part of their kit. These little toxic but highly effective tablets helped the explorers cope with a very low-fiber diet of basically meat, 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 and more meat, and in the process left a trail of heavy metals across the country that explorers can now follow. Look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.